ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 14, Translation and Commentary by Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Apanah Sanskritin Gauram.
Apanah Sanskritin Gauram.
Yannama Vivasho Granam.
Yannama Vivasho Granam.
Tatah Sadyo Vimuchyetah.
Tatah Sadyo Vimuchyetah.
Yad bibheti swayam bhayam. Translation: living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Purport: Vasudeva, or Lord Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the supreme controller of everything. There is no one in creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. Great asuras like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and others who are very powerful living entities were all killed by the Personality of Godhead. And the Almighty Vasudeva has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. Everything is related to him and everything has its identity in him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared even by fear personified. This indicates that the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Therefore, the name of Krishna is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. There is no difference at all. Anyone, therefore, can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, even in the midst of greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously or by force of circumstances, can help one obtain freedom from the hurdle of birth and death. I chose this verse to speak on today, to introduce a word, the discussion of a word which is used in the commentary on this verse by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Srila Prabhupada said that by reading my books one gets in touch with all the acharyas. And we can greater appreciate the gifts of Srila Prabhupada if we understand how he has taken all the teachings which they have given and presented it in very simple and straightforward language.
Okay, does anyone else want to adjust the microphone? Is it all right now? I mean, it's two people already. All right, you want to do it a little more? All right. Okay, is everyone satisfied with the position of the microphone? Any dissenters? If so, please come and adjust it now. All right, so let's stop thinking about microphones and get back to the Srimad Bhagavatam.
And those who have the opportunity to study the works of the previous acharyas,
they can appreciate how Srila Prabhupada has brought everything that they have given and put it in his books. Of course, not everyone has the opportunity to study the writings of the previous acharyas. One reason is because they are in Sanskrit. Mostly in Sanskrit.
What I'm going to read
from a Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is in Bengali, but it's in such Bengali that it's almost like Sanskrit with a little Bengali here and there. Now, translations of these works are being made available. But just by the very nature of the English language or languages which are far away from Sanskrit, it's not possible to convey the same depth in one or two words. Yeah, what I mean to say is that one word in Sanskrit may require many words in English to get the idea across. So today I'm going to give an underview of this word which is written here. How do you say underview in Tamil? There's no such word in English even, so I don't know how you're going to translate it. It's a word invented by, I believe it's invented by Gopi Pranadama Prabhu. I don't know. You have to translate. You're the translator. That's your job. It just goes to show how difficult it is to translate. I'll explain it. Mostly when people are... we're talking about reading the Acharya's works, but look at Prabhupada's works. I mean, even most of our devotees don't read Prabhupada's books. I mean, look at... Here's one book, Srimad Bhagavatam, and most people, they look at it and say, and then look the other way. I saw some figure, something like this, that last year in America, 40% of the people read only one book or less, or something like that. People don't read. They watch cartoons and like that. This word, which I'm going to analyze, give an underview of, is from Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is written in Bengali and is available from various Gauriya Math branches and sub-branches, but which practically no one reads. Hardly anyone reads it, this Bhagavatam commentary. Hardly anyone can understand it, for a start. I mean, even people who read Bengali, it's not... Most Bengalis can't understand it. Very few people are that much interested in these topics. And even, you see, people, they take to Krishna consciousness, but not that many are interested in trying to understand, you know, to read such a difficult works. And it's, you know, a huge commentary. Another problem is that they're so badly typeset, there are so many mistakes that you have to spend half your time trying to work out what it means anyway, and trying to think, what does this word mean? Maybe it should mean this, or maybe it should mean that, or... It's typeset, so the grammar, in some cases, the grammar becomes all upset and you don't know what's going on. Anyway, in general, people, when they see a big book, they prefer an overview. You can buy, in English, Srimad Bhagavatam condensed like that. Wonderful. No philosophy and just the stories. No philosophy, no commentary. But actually, the traditional system is what Gopi Pranadana Prabhu calls an underview. The modern idea of you learn something, you cram all the information, get all the information, cram it into your head, and this way you learn it. That's why they have, for the college courses, they have notes so that you can just, especially for, like, if you're studying the works of Shakespeare or something like that, they have notes. So instead of reading the actual work, you just read the condensed version and get the important things, and that way you don't bother reading the whole thing. So with these notes you can pass an exam on a work of Shakespeare. There's so many, Much Ado About Nothing or something, without even having read it. So the idea is to get some information and just take out what you need and use it for your own purposes. So the word jnana or knowledge, it doesn't just mean information. It's a different concept altogether. So the method of studying shastra is completely different to that of getting an overview and just cramming it in and posing yourself as an expert. Traditionally, shastra was studied by hearing, that Swarup Damodar told mistaken poet from Bengal, Jao Bhagavata Paro Bhagavate Sthane. He told him, go and study the Srimad Bhagavat from a Bhagavat, from a person, devotee. So Prabhupada introduced this system. You take one verse every day and study it in some detail, rather than just trying to charge through the whole thing quickly and get it over with.
So, with that introduction done, I'll read one line from the commentary on this verse of Srila by the commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Any other Bengalis here? No. All right.
All right, I'll read it and see if you can catch what it means just by hearing it the first time. I doubt it because it's not that easy.
Indriya torpane udeshe akhaja bilasha chatur bhaktigan bhaktri buddhite je namo charan kore tahate dosha vidya namar aparade sambhavana ache.
Okay, you understood that? Yeah. Anyway, this is a rough translation of it. You might get caught on this term here. Akhaja bilasha chatur, which I'm going to talk about.
Akshaja vilasa chatur. In Bengali, akshaja or akshaja.
Here's a rough translation. When the name, which means the holy name of Krishna, and here in this verse it's simply stated name, nama, but it's understood, it means the name of Krishna.
When the name is uttered in the consciousness of being an enjoyer, for the sake of gratifying the sense organs, there is a likelihood of committing the 10 kinds of offenses to the holy name.
So, when the name is uttered in the consciousness of being an enjoyer, for the sake of gratifying the sense organs, sense gratification, there is a likelihood of committing the 10 kinds of namaparada. So, that's fairly straightforward, isn't it? I mean, it's not. If one is in the consciousness of it being an enjoyer of the material world and chants the holy name for the sake of getting some sense gratification, there is the likelihood of it almost certainly will be namaparad, but it's stated here there's the likelihood of.
Now this term, which is a compound of three Sanskrit words I've got written on the board. Akshaja vilasa chatur.
Akshaja means here, yeah, well that's the point. It's not so easy to understand. That's why I want to discuss it. Akshaja means, it literally means born of the eyes. It means by material means. Vilasa means enjoyable activities.
And chatur means expert.
You have that word in Tamil also, I think. No? It means expert, clever, crafty, it can mean also. Crafty means, you know, crafty, cunning, yeah.
Similar,
yeah. So, well, actually every one of these words, it has certain, in the whole sentence, there's certain nuances or subtleties which can't be conveyed in English. Just like the first word in the sentence, indriya, well, that's pretty straightforward. But then tarpan, that's translated as gratification. But what do you think? Yeah, satisfying, yeah. Now, this term, akshaja vilasa, I have discussed this with a devotee who's translating this, and we discussed for about 20 minutes or half an hour how to translate this term, akshaja vilasa. And I think whatever we came up with afterwards, I came up with materially enjoyable activities. But actually there's so much inherent in this term that I want to discuss it a little bit. Now there are many terms for material. Yeah, that bhutik is the usual one, the one that you use, which comes from bhuta, which means object, which comes from the sense of something coming into being, something which is not eternal. Now, those who are conversant with the language of the Srimad Bhagavatam and of the Acharyas, they know very well the word adhokshaja. This is a very important word. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented that this is a very important word. In this important, let's take a little digression here. In the second chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam, we have are given several verses which set the tone for the whole of the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam. With what understanding, with what approach should the Bhagavatam be studied? So one of those verses is Savaipung Sangparo Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ahaitukiya Pratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all living beings is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted, and that will fully satisfy the self. Now, the word adhokshaja has been used in this verse. Any other word could have been used to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many terms that describe him. Yato bhakti bhagavate could have been, or whatever. But yato bhakti narayane. The word adhokshaja means, it implies that he cannot be served. He is beyond the material jurisdiction, therefore he cannot be properly served in a mundane way. He can only be served in a spiritual way. Which is explained in the definition of bhakti given by Narada Muni, or a definition of bhakti given by him. The definition of bhakti given by Narada, one should be free of designations. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchyate. That being freed from all mundane designations, being absorbed in the consciousness of the Supreme and with a pure consciousness, engaging one's senses in the service of the master of the senses is called bhakti. So Krishna cannot be understood or perceived by the mundane senses. Therefore, he is always beyond the jurisdiction of the material modes of nature. So he can only be, this, ahaitukiya pratihata, devotional service that was without any personal motivation, that is full-time, goes on all the time, and cannot be stopped under any circumstances. It doesn't just mean that one doesn't stop, one goes on all the time, but it cannot be stopped. Even if someone else tries to stop it, it cannot be stopped. So this is most important to understand the subject of Bhagavatam, which the subject of Bhagavatam is Bhagavan, the devotees, bhakta, and bhakti. So this is all adhokshaja. This is all beyond the jurisdiction of material sense understanding. That Kunti Devi, she also uses that verse, that word. Maya javani kachanam adhokshaja avyayam na lakshase muhadrisha nato natyadharo yatha. He is covered by the curtain of, or you are, she is praying to him. You are covered by the curtain of Maya. You are adhokshaja, are not perceivable or approachable by mundane senses, and inexhaustible. Avyaya is the Sanskrit word. It means he doesn't diminish. You're not perceivable to the vision of fools, but you appear like an actor who is visible but not recognized. So this is most important to understand Krishna as he appears in his various avatars and as his original form Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's essential to understand this if we are at all to understand Krishna. And actually, unless we perform bhakti, ahaituki apratihata, then we can't really enter into Bhagavatam at all. We can't begin to appreciate adhokshaja, Bhagavan. So adhokshaja is beyond the realm of the material, which the impersonalists, they presume that to be impersonal. Within the material world, there are activities, so they presume that beyond the material, there are no activities. But he is engaged in activities. Here's a word, here's a sentence from the preface of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. Brahma nirdosh dehendri anta karana dharma sambandha dosha tahate nai. Which means Brahma nirdosh, the spiritual or the absolute is without any faults, which means that in him there is not, that's an unfinished sentence. In him there is not, and I'll say what it, there is not. Okay, here we come with one word, dehendri anta karana dharma sambandha dosha. That's one word. It's several words all put together. That's Sanskrit. The faults are of the body, the senses, and then the internal sense, or the antakarana. The internal sense or consciousness. So, and then all of these words, dehendri anta karana dharma. Dharma means it is not actually dharma, but it's not pure dharma, but it's what appears to be dharma or the natural activity of those who identify with the body, senses, and mundane consciousness. Have fun. Dharma means what, in this, actually dharma doesn't, it's being used in the opposite or the perverted sense, what appears to be the natural function of the body, senses, and consciousness. I'm using antakarana here as consciousness, although it's not the anyway. Now, this, to consider one's dharma or being, one's sense of being or one's functionality in terms of the body, senses, and polluted consciousness, that is full of faults. These are the mundane designations that Narad Muni says one has to be free from. Of course, there are many, many mundane designations. I am Tamil, I am Telugu, and so many. I am a bank manager, I am the owner of this car. But they all spring from this relating oneself or identifying oneself with the body, mind, and senses. So, when we come across the word akshaja, it gives the whole consciousness, in that one term is the whole consciousness of forgetting Krishna. The whole consciousness of identifying oneself with the body, mind, and senses. And all the implications of doing so. So I'll leave you to think about that and come back in 5 minutes. Well, you can do whatever you like for the next 5 minutes or so. If you like, you can do some. Dehendri antakarana sambandha dharma. It's that being beyond the range of limited sense perception. Agyad hokshajam apiyam. Beyond adhokshajam, beyond the range of material conception. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception. He translates here avyaya as irreproachable. So, similar word to this akshaja was often used by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Adhakik or adhikata. Adhikata, which means empiric or empiricism. Empiric means the empiricism means the method of gaining information through the senses. Pratyakshavad, I guess you could say.
Pratyakshavad.
Again, aksha. Again, pratyaksha. Again, this comes. Empiricism. Adhikukta. In Bengali it's pronounced. How would you say that? Adhyakshita.
Adhyakshita.
In Sanskrit that would be. So, his disciples noted that whenever he said this word, he would say it with a sense of distaste. Because this is the whole basis of material consciousness. The idea that I can see, the idea of seeing everything without wanting to see Krishna. The idea that I am the seer, but I am the seen. I am the object of everything. The object of the universe is to satisfy my senses and not Krishna's senses. It's denial of Krishna. And even though one is totally controlled by Krishna's inferior energy, one is totally controlled by Krishna's inferior energy, and is totally insignificant, still one has the consciousness of being Ishvaro Hamaham Bhogi. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. And the senses are meant for my enjoyment. And that I can enjoy, the whole idea that I can enjoy through these senses. Yeah, Indriya Tarpan, that means that to gratify the senses, that there has to be, just like you have Tarpan to the forefathers, you have to offer something. You have to always offer something to the senses. Just like the Pitri Tarpan, you have to offer something. There has to be activities. You always have to be giving something. So the idea that instead of offering everything to Krishna, you offer everything in the fire of my own personal sense gratification. This, again, another term used by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that they think that materialistic people think that God is the order supply. He's the one who brings fuel for offering in the fire of one's own personal sense gratification. Prabhupada translated that as order supplier. My senses require gratification. So God supplies something. Just like you see the baby birds opening their mouths, and the parent birds are coming and dropping some worms or whatever in their mouth. So the idea, God, our Father, give us our bread, is similar to that. So Krishna is the eternally irreproachable factor beyond the jurisdiction of the senses. And his activities are vilasa, enjoyable activity. So there are enjoyable activities and unenjoyable activities. Unenjoyable activities are, for instance, going to work in a factory, or even ordinary activities like brushing your teeth or passing stool. They're just routine activities. They're not enjoyable activities. Vilasa means activities like dancing, boating. Dancing of Rasalila, boating of Noka Vilas. Noka must be a Hindi word. Then the Sanskrit word would be Nava Vilas. Then going with one's girlfriend in the forest. Then you have Kunja Vilasa. Swinging. This is Julan
Vilas.
So these are all specifically enjoyable activity. Krishna is always engaged in enjoyable activity. This word Vilas is especially appropriate in relationship to Krishna, because he is the enjoyer. That's also sometimes called Leela. Leela means like a drama.
Leela or
Dina?
Drama.
Drama. Drama. Just like this verse of Kunti Devi. Nato natya dharo yatha. That Krishna appears like an actor upon us in a drama. Because although Krishna appears to act within this world, he's not really of this world. He performs many activities, but he doesn't have any relationship with this world. So from our perspective, we can call that Leela. Although for Krishna it's just ordinary and natural and what he does. But for Krishna, all his activities are vilasa. Everything is for his enjoyment. And everything that everyone in the transcendental world does is for Krishna's enjoyment. The spiritual world or spiritual existence is only enjoyment. Or more specifically, enjoyable activities. There's no enjoyment in non-activity. The impersonalists make a great mistake by thinking that spiritual perfection means to cease all activities. Now, this term is used, akshaja vilas, which means material enjoyable activities. Or it means enjoyable or attempts to enjoy based on the consciousness of myself as being separate from Krishna. Seeing but not seeing Krishna. Or even if we see Krishna, we see Krishna as part of this material world. And because the vision of someone in this material consciousness is that everything is meant for my enjoyment, he sees Krishna as being an object of his enjoyment, or Krishna should facilitate my enjoyment. Instead of thinking, Ama Swarup Hoy Krishna Nipta Das, my eternal position is that of Krishna's servant, he thinks, Krishna Swarup Hoy Ama Nipta Das, Krishna's position is to be my eternal servant. So he cannot conceive of anything except that everything is meant for my enjoyment. But practically he observes that everything doesn't happen for my enjoyment and people are impeding my sense gratification. Therefore he thinks in terms of friends and enemies. Friend is one who facilitates my sense enjoyment, and an enemy is someone who impedes it. So if Krishna facilitates my sense enjoyment, then I like Krishna. And if things are going badly and everything's going wrong, then I blame Krishna, or I try to edit him out of existence by saying there is no Krishna. So everything everyone does in this world is meant for pleasure, but no one is happy, everyone is miserable. Because of this wrong consciousness of seeing myself as the center of everything, and seeing everything with the eyes tinged with the salve of hatred of Krishna. Irshanjana, Churita, Abhakti, Vilochanena, Murho Sadaiva, what is that? Santa Sadaiva, Hridayam, Murho Sadaiva, Hridayam, Avilokayanti. Those whose eyes are tinged with the salve of hatred toward Krishna, they always within their heart, they have a big blank. They're feeling empty inside. Why do they feel empty inside? There's no Krishna. People say, isn't it, they're feeling empty inside. No Krishna. They didn't allow Krishna. Then there's nothing there. So this whole polluted consciousness and the grotesque idea that one can enjoy being of such diseased consciousness, full of hatred, anger, fear, illusion, and you're trying to enjoy it all. Here's a person suffering from schizophrenia. I don't know the Tamil word. If you don't know, I can't help you. The doctor, he knows. Man. Well, that's one kind of suffering. Schizophrenia, anxiety, depression, paranoia. Paranoia means ativ bhayam, I guess you could say. But it's with a specific object. So you have all these different syndromes. Some people are afraid of heights, some people are afraid of water, some people are afraid of other people, some people are afraid of animals, some people are afraid of claustrophobia, being in a small space, some people are afraid of being in open space. There are dozens of phobias. These are called phobias. There are dozens of medical terms, Latinized terms for dozens of different phobias that people have. Different kinds of fears of specific circumstances or objects. So you've got all these different illusions, anxiety, fear, hatred, anger, and you're trying to enjoy it all. This is called akshaja vilasa, or the enjoyable activities within the atmosphere of perverted perception. So actually to use the word vilas for anyone but Krishna, it's a sarcastic usage. There is no happiness in the material world. But the attempt to enjoy it in itself is perverted. So by this one term, which akshaja vilasa, which appears within one sentence, in one commentary on one verse, just that one term gives you a whole vision of the whole foolish, perverted, unfortunate endeavor of materialistic people. So this term akshaja can only be understood in relation to adhokshaja, and how we are cut off, or we have separated ourselves from adhokshaja, the transcendent Lord. And that only He is the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer. But the attempt to enjoy separately from Him is so pathetic. And then, pathetic means foolish, and it's lamentably foolish. It means lamentably foolish. What? So then we have akshaja vilasa. Actually, there's no possibility of akshaja vilasa. It's a sarcastic term. You cannot enjoy when one is in the consciousness of seeing this world through mundane vision, there's no actual possibility of enjoying it. So akshaja vilasa is a sarcastic term. But then the sarcasm is underlined or enhanced by the word chatur, which means expert. They're very expert in enjoying that which is actually not enjoyable at all. They think that, we're very expert in enjoying this world. We've built so many super highways, just like the NH-47, which goes close, that's the Kanyakumari to Delhi, to Kashmir, or wherever. We've built so many flyovers, like there's some tiny little stream and they make a 700 meter bridge over it or something. Just to show that India is becoming part of the modern world. Of course, they can't make the road smooth, so they just put slabs, and every time one slab meets another slab, there's a bump. Right? Anyway, they think they're very expert in enjoying this material world. Chatur means not only expert, but it gives the sense of some craftiness or cunningness. Someone can say that. Huh? That you're cheating someone, and this way by your intelligence, you're able to exploit others and take advantage of them. So this is the situation. One is defeated in all endeavors as long as one does not inquire into the nature of the self. So they think they're very clever, but they themselves are cheated. They think that they've got everything under control. They've written books about Krishna. There was some tribal god who got elevated, who became identified with the Vedic god Vishnu. So that's it. They understood everything about Krishna, put it in a book, put it in the library, and taught some course in the university, finished. That's Krishna under control. They think they have everything under control, very expert. They're making ever more plans how to control this world. But they're so foolish, they don't see that we are control. These two points, Srila Prabhupada went all over the world, and he stressed on these two points. Non-Hindus and increasingly Hindus also don't have faith in Shastra. So Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the West, he didn't say, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, and therefore you have to believe it, otherwise you'll burn in hell. He didn't attempt to propagate a sectarian understanding. He pointed out with all logic that, first of all, we're not the body, and that we are controlled. Therefore, we should accept that there is some controller. Therefore, we should accept Shastra, because Shastra gives us knowledge of that which is adhoksaja. That we are not the body, we can understand logically. How we are not the body and who we are, being not the body, that we cannot understand. Utkramantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam vagunanvitam vimuram nanu pashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshusha. How we get one body, how we are situated in this body, how we get one body after another, big fools, they cannot see this, but one can see this with the eye of knowledge. How we are spiritual beings, how we go from body to body, how we are controlled, that is described in Shastra. Shastra doesn't mean scripture in the sectarian sense, like the Bible, the Quran, or whatever. It's not like that. Shastra means knowledge of the principles of the universe. Just like there's Ayurveda, medical Shastra. It gives the principles of medicine. Or the Shastra in various parts describes just like the sthapatya, the architecture, the principles of architecture, the principles of music. All of these are described in different parts of Shastra.
So Krishna is also described in Shastra. But one cannot understand this simply by one's eyes, by the akshaja, by the method of thinking that by my eyes I can see everything and understand everything.
Therefore, the Vedic system to attain knowledge is not that you simply try to understand by yourself, but one has to approach a tattva-darshi, or one who sees and understands the principles.
So one who is akshaja-vilasa chatura thinks he's very expert in understanding in enjoying within the material atmosphere. Real intelligence means to see that I cannot enjoy, I'm very small.
The word for enjoyment is bhoga, which gives the sense of consumption. So that means one takes a superior position, one dominates something or someone else and absorbs that into oneself for one's own enjoyment. So one can only actually be a Vaishnava if one thinks oneself the smallest of the smallest of the smallest of the small. Means there's nothing I'm greater than, there's nothing is for my enjoyment. So in that humble mood, if one approaches one who can show that which is beyond the jurisdiction of mundane sensual perception, then one can come to the adhoksaja platform. So, while reading this one sentence, we'll come across this word, akshaja vilasa chatura, and one who has been trained in this spiritual understanding, in shastric knowledge, in Vaishnava understanding, by reading that one term, then a whole encyclopedia of meaning will become available to him. This is the idiom of Shastra, that there's so much meaning packed into one term or a few terms. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, nasato vidyate bhava. The term sat, the terms sat, asat, vidya, bhavati, all of them, there's so much meaning in each term. Arjuna's on the battlefield listening and understanding everything gradually by Krishna's grace. But later the scholars will come and analyze, and on the one line of Krishna speaking, they'll write whole new shastras. But revealed, you can say. So in brief, there's an underview of one term, which just by considering this term, this one of unlimited terms, it gives us some idea of the depth of what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And as this verse says, well, actually everything's in the name of Krishna. So we should all chant Hare Krishna. I'm reading a book about the tradition of reciting the Ramcharitmanas, which is not hardly known in Tamil Nadu, but which in North India has been for several centuries, the most influential religious work. So in that book, there's a quote from one speaker. The tradition of the Ramcharitmanas is that it's spoken and people hear. They have all shastras, but that's been a big culture. So one speaker, to be a speaker, to be able to sit and speak on that, the first thing you have to do is learn the whole text. You have to know it all. That's just the beginning of what it takes to be a speaker. And that's not enough to be able to speak, but that's one of the qualifications. Yes. So one speaker, anyway, he's quoted as saying that, well, I don't speak very long, but I do a lot of Nam Kirtan, which means Ram Nam Kirtan, at the end. Because whatever you speak, after 2 days, if you ask anyone what you spoke on, hardly anyone can remember even 2% of it. But Ram Nam, that will help them. At the time of death, they will get mukti by Ramanama. So I don't know if any of you will remember 2% of this after 2 days. But everyone can go on chanting the holy names of Krishna and get a lot more than mukti. But even if we don't remember exactly what is said, this discussion of topics concerning Krishna, it molds the consciousness. That's the point. It molds the consciousness so that we're inclined to serve Krishna, so that we have a clear conception of Krishna, so that we don't chant the holy name for mukti, and definitely not for material enjoyment. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses terms, you could say it's an invented term. It's quite within the adhikar or the jurisdiction of any commentator to make terms like this. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you'll find in his songs, he's given so many names for Krishna, which we probably won't find anywhere else. Definitely the names he gives for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they won't be found in the ancient, in the older works, but they're valid names. Names like that. Gadadhara Madana, whom maddens with love, Gadadhara. Gajapati Tarana, he delivers the Prataparudra, the Ramananda Poshana, he nourishes Ramananda.
Ramananda Poshana.
Poshana, not Bhushana. He's the Bhushan also, but in this Poshana means who nourishes. So the purpose of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in using this term, when you could have said, well, he could have used any other term which might be more easily understood, but it's not simply to make some linguistic delight. There are many poets who are expert in creating linguistic delights. Famous poets in Sanskrit language, like Kalidas, the Vaishnavas, they have no interest in them. Even though they may treat Shastric themes, their aim is linguistic delight, and their aim is not to delight Krishna. And although Krishna should certainly be served by all those who are favored by Saraswati to manipulate to manifest Saraswati in a manner to praise Krishna, that should be there. It's not that we should use the dullest, plainest language. Rather, we should use the best language to glorify Krishna. But a feature of the great acharyas is that not only do they use, by the grace of Saraswati, not only do they use the most charming language, but it's simultaneously most meaningful. It's the meaningfulness is the important point, rather than the especially in
statements like this
the verse that we read today in the tattva vichar, or the philosophical, what we would in English call the philosophical sections, the meaning is to be made clear. That is so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's using this term is not to demonstrate some intellectual skill, but to underline the point that materialistic people, they think themselves very expert in enjoying the material world, and they're so foolish and shameless that they want to exploit Krishna and the name. They want to chant the name of Krishna for the sake of their sense gratification. So while apparently praising them, they're very expert in they're very expert in materially enjoyable activities. By the apparent praise, he's emphasizing the foolishness and the grossness of the attempt to engage the name of Krishna in one's sensual gratification. Yeah. Any question or comment about this, please?
It's interesting that this word akshaja is not, you know, that there is no synonym for any other sense. Akka is eye, so it's not like karshaja or, you know, some other sense.
Karnaja
or some other sense.
Yeah.
But the
materialistic,
materialistic
people, they see through the eyes. Yeah. Intelligent person sees through the ears.
But when the pratyaksha word is used, then aksha refers to all the senses.
Yeah, it's understood. Yeah, with this also. Yeah. Akshaja also gives the sense of the beginning with, it's like akshadi, gives the sense of
starting with,
beginning with the eyes. Yeah.
There is this word adikshik.
Adhyakshika.
That's actually referred to empiricism.
Well, that's the empiric method. That by our sense perception, we will understand everything. I just sent you an article which from the New Yorker magazine, which is a prestigious magazine in America, from December the 10th, which just last week, which was sent to me by Badri Narayan Prabhu, and I sent it around to a few people. It's really an eye-opener because it shows how scientists themselves are beginning to understand that the scientific method is grossly imperfect, and you really can't understand anything through science. So I sent it to you.
The brave ones are speaking like this, you know, those who are on the fringe, on the edge.
No, he's not making a campaign against science. He's saying that, well, he comes up with the idea that scientifically we're trying to understand it or something like this.
But I want to say he's honest. But the establishment is...
Well, so far he hasn't been thrown out of whatever university, whatever university he's in. But I didn't send it to you because I thought you can get it from him. That the crux of it, well, what happened was he found out something by analysis, but when he came back late, and then others, because others are supposed to check the result. But then when he came back a few years later, he found doing the same experiment gave different results. And then he found that was true in so many different fields. And he was joking, like, the cosmos is against me or something. Anyway, you can read it. But it just underlines the point that science is based on empiricism, which is unreliable. One of the interesting things that's just mentioned in there is that gravity the concept of gravity, it's some experiments were done which show that, well, actually, it's not exact, doesn't work, doesn't. But they say still it's taught, but according to the theories and the observations, what they call gravity is a bogus theory. Prabhupada also said that, interestingly enough. It's amazing how Maya sets it, you know, and then they're talking, they couldn't understand why gravity is a weak force. How should it be a weak force when the Earth, and they're making different theories, and they have a, now there's one theory that the reason why gravity is a weak force is coming from another universe outside our universe, and that's why it's weak here. And, Hare Krishna. There are all kinds of theories. Pagale kina bale chagale kina kai. This was Prabhupada's comment, Bengali saying. What is there that a madman will not say or a goat will not eat? So that's mundane knowledge for you. Yeah, but the last sentence of this thing said that, well, he said, well, actually it all just comes down to your beliefs.
Science!
Belief. So, Hare Krishna, we'll finish there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, because I was quoting a lot from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, so we have said it.